We would like to welcome you tonight. We're thankful for every visitor that's among us this evening. We pray that in our gathering tonight that the Lord Jesus would be honored and glorified, His saints would be built up in the most holy faith, and that you that are lost and in sin would be warned to flee the wrath to come. I've had a good day. There are occasions in our lives when the Lord is just so real to us, where He manifests His glory and His goodness toward us. I want to use a passage of Scripture taken from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. I'll be reading in verse 36. The disciples had gathered together in His name, and suddenly the Lord Jesus appeared before them in His resurrected body. This is following the death and resurrection of Christ. It says, reading in verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and afraid, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see Me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet." I'd like to choose for a text, a passage of Scripture found in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6. "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hand?" I want to pray. Lord, Your servant comes into Your presence tonight, asking that You would reveal Yourself to us through the reading of Your holy word. Father God, I pray that these scriptures would be as real to this congregation tonight as You made them real to me this afternoon. Lord, I pray that as I attempt to speak Your word, that Your Spirit would use it to prick the hearts of those that are lost and in sin and excite the saints. We thank You, God, for all that You've done this week and how You're blessing us and how You're working in lives and hearts. We pray that You'll continue to work in our hearts and lives, even this evening in this service. For I ask it in the holy and righteous and precious name of Jesus Christ. And amen. I want to speak to you tonight about the revealing and the retaining of the scars of Jesus Christ. Here in these passages of Scripture, it's obvious to me that the retaining of the scars that He suffered on the cross of Calvary served to identify Him distinctly among the disciples. Undisputably, He revealed Himself to be who He was, the very one that hung on the cross. And so I want us to look at Him showing unto them His hands and His feet. What purpose it served the disciples. I want us to look a little further though and think about why He retained those wounds in His hands and His feet. Why? Why? And in examining that, perhaps perceive another purpose in his wounds, in his scars, in that crevice in his side, and what purpose it may serve in heaven. Not just how the disciples reacted to his wounds or his scars, but also how heaven reacted. And thirdly, I want us to notice tonight or think about some future purpose that these scars may serve. Here in these passages of Scripture, it's obvious to me that he showed them clearly, and they were able to even handle the scars that were made by the nails that hung him on the cross. He retained them. He retained the nail scars that he acquired when he hung on the cross of Calvary to redeem us from our sins. I don't really believe he had to. I don't believe that he had to retain those scars. I mean, I saw on the news here a while back that they've even done a face transplant. There are plastic surgeons that are removing tattoos and scars. They're doing remarkable work in restoring the appearance of people. And surely Jesus in his glorified and resurrected body did not have to retain the scars that he got when he was hung on the cross of Calvary. He could have removed them. But he arose from the dead. And rather than erasing these scars from his body, he retained them. He retained the marks of his suffering. There in Zechariah 13 and 6, when the question was asked, "What are these wounds in thy hands?" Throughout prophecy and throughout the scriptures, it was told to us that they would pierce his hands and feet. In Psalms 22 and verse 16, it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." These scars, I contend, are eternal scars, that they forever signify the love that God had for mankind. Did he have to retain these marks of suffering? Absolutely not. Jesus Christ chose to wear these scars. And the reason was, well, we see that it served a purpose here in these passages of Scripture there in Luke chapter 24. He showed them, the Bible says in verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. This proved that this was the very one that had called them out when they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. This is the one that they left all to follow. This is the one that they had been sitting at the feet at and learning the things of God from. This was the one that healed the lame man, that caused the blind man to see. This is the one that fed them and helped them and ministered to them. This was the very one that they betrayed, that they forsook in the Garden of Gethsemane. This was the one that they saw ushered into Pilate's hall and whipped and spat upon and mocked and abused. This was the very one that they saw that was took to Golgotha's hill and hung on a cross to die for their sins. This was the same one that was taken down from the cross, the one they beheld hanging there between the heavens and the earth and put in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. This was the same one. It was Jesus. And his scars, his wounds did prove it. It validated it. It identified him as the one who died on the cross of Calvary. I believe, though, that when we think about this, it serves as an infallible proof that he was the same man that died there on the cross of Calvary. Not only will it prove it to them, or did prove it to them, but it will also be proven to us. It showed them, they beheld his hands and his feet, and it established his identity. This was the very Jesus that they loved, the very Jesus that they stood beside of and walked with while he ministered in his body here on the earth. Notice in this passage, look at verse 36. Jesus did not have the same body. He had a changed body. He says in these passages that he has flesh and bone. And he had the capacity, apparently, to just suddenly appear before them, to enter into a room with the doors locked and the windows shut. Just suddenly appeared before them. And he said, "Peace be unto you." We find our Savior here in these passages of Scripture, standing in the midst of the disciples. The doors were shut, and it startled them. It alarmed them. They thought it was a phantom. They thought it was a ghost, an apparition. They didn't perceive that it could be Jesus in flesh and bones. But I assure you tonight, it was Jesus in flesh and bones. His body was not a spirit. It was a real body. You know the wonderful blessing about all this? We too shall receive a body like his. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. The world kneweth him not, and it knoweth us not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. John, in 1 John chapter 3, he tells us that we also will receive a body like Jesus Christ, a real body. He had a body. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, turn there with me. We're told there that we will get a body, a new body. This body will be sown in dishonor, but it will be raised in glory. This body will be sown in weakness, but it will be raised in power. Jesus was still flesh and bone. He says in verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "But all flesh is not the same flesh." His body had been changed. His body was not necessarily the same body. It was an uncorruptible body. It was a glorified body. Amen. And through that process of change, of transformation, from corruptible to incorruptible, from dishonor to glory, he could have changed his appearance with regard to the scars that and the wounds that he incurred on the cross of Calvary. But he chose not. He had flesh. But it wasn't a flesh that could suffer anymore, was it? No. He had flesh. I mean, he could even eat. Look in verse 42 of the 24th chapter of Luke. There he called for a honeycomb. He ate. I don't think it was of necessity, do you? I don't think we're going to have problems with obesity in heaven. I don't know. He may have to call on Gabriel and sanction some of those Tennesseans there. You know, limit their supply of that heavenly food. Not sure. The way we like to eat. But he ate. He had flesh. He had a fleshly body, but it was a glorified body. We shall be like him. With the exception of what? I mean, won't we be presented faultless before the Father? Without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle? Some of y'all like that, don't you? We'll be just like Jesus, with the exception of one thing. That thing is what was in his hands and his feet. He showed them his hands and his feet, declaring that he had died on the cross to redeem man from sin. Why? Why did Christ retain these wounds? I was thinking this evening, he could have proven who he was without the scars. Couldn't he have? I mean, he was the Lord. He could have proven that he was the only begotten. He could have proven that he was the same Jesus without retaining the wounds that he was inflicted when he hung on the cross of Calvary. Why did he retain these wounds? Well, I think it revealed many things. I believe it not only had a profound effect upon the disciples. And as you look there a little later in that passage, there he, you'll notice there in Luke, I think it's verse 24, 25. Anyway, as he began to leave them, what does he do? Look, it's verse 50 is what it is, verse 50. As he was walking with them later on and he went as far as Bethany, he lifted up his hands. This is the last thing the disciples saw and the first thing the angels saw as he bodily entered into glory. What effect do you suppose that had upon heaven? I mean, those angels that were there, you know, when he was born and they said, glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill toward men. Those angels that shouted to those shepherds that there was a Savior born in Bethlehem. Those same angels. What kind of effect do you suppose it would have had upon the angels as they saw the Savior coming into glory? You look in the 20, I believe it's the 24th chapter of the book of Psalms. You'll find exactly the effect it had upon them. They said, lift up ye heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up ye heads, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The victory that was won for us was won for us at Calvary. And the retaining of those scars are trophies in heaven to prove that the only begotten Son of God conquered death, hell, and the grave. Yeah. I think it would have had a profound effect upon the angels. I don't have time to get into it. I wish I could go through the book of Revelation, but I do know this. We find a whole host of them, 10,000 times 10,000, standing before him and saying, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and glory and honor. You just read the book of Revelation. You can see what kind of profound effect the Lord Jesus coming into heaven in his glorified body, what kind of effect it had upon the angels of heaven, and perhaps what compelled them, what inspired them, how to say, behold the Lamb, or worthy is the Lamb, are the scars that were in his hands. Maybe he just showed them his hands and his feet. Why did he retain those scars? What happened when it was revealed to the angels? I believe there was a rapture that took place. There was an amazing wonder as the angels, the Bible says that the angels desired to look into these things. And suddenly they saw the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, with scars in his hands and his feet. Wounds that Christ had in his hands and his feet are an eternal emblem of glory. Trophies of love that he had for mankind. You know, if you've ever seen a soldier with a gash on his forehead or on his cheek, why, every soldier will tell you that those wounds in battle are not a disfigurement. Even some of our military that are coming back without a limb, it is not a wound of disfigurement. It's a wound of honor. Jesus Christ with his scars entered into heaven, and they are scars of honor. It's an emblem of death's demise. He abolished death, amen? The angels, he proved it. He perhaps showed the angels, the heavenly host, his hands and his feet, and proved that he abolished death. The Bible says how that but now made manifest by the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Timothy 1 and 10, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. His scars marked the day that death died. Death met its match. I mean, the innocent Son of God, it had never touched somebody innocent. It had never gotten a hold of somebody who was sinless. It was the first time. And when death tried to consume and swallow up our Savior, death did not have victory. Death lost the battle. And the trophies of that victory are the scars of Jesus Christ. No wonder how the angel said he was alive, yet he died, yet he lives forevermore. Amen. Amen. He lives forevermore. Christ destroyed death by the sacrifice of himself. He put it away. Yes, he did. And through those scars, one of these days, we're going to jump up out of those graves. And we're going to say, oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And it's all because he wears those trophies of victories, the scars in his hands. Perhaps it wasn't the last thing the disciples saw. It was the last thing he raised before them. Maybe it wasn't the first thing the angels saw. I really think it was. You can disagree with me if you like. But there's another reason I think that we ought to consider this, him showing them his hands and his feet. What kind of effect do you think it would have on the Heavenly Father? I mean, we saw what kind of effect it had upon the disciples. I mean, they went forth saying, he's alive. He's alive. Jesus is alive. He's arisen from the dead. I saw him. I handled him. I saw the scars in his hands and his feet. He's alive. Remember what he told Thomas in the last book of John? How he told John, he said, "It reached forth your hand into my side. Be not doubting, but believe." They went forth with renewed zeal because they saw the scars in his hands and his feet. But what about the Heavenly Father? How do you think the Heavenly Father responded to Jesus and his scars in his hands and his feet? Well, I'll tell you, look in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. As Jesus walked up to the Father with those nail-scarred hands and those nail scars in his feet and that crevice in his side, the Heavenly Father said, "Sit down here on my right hand till I make all of your enemies your footstool." He highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's what he said. Well, you might say, "Oh, you're preaching, you're stretching a little bit." We'll go a little further in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1. He said, "Now of these things which we have spoken, the sum of them is this." This is the sum. "We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Do you think he uses them to intercede on our behalf? Huh? I mean, when our sins come before the judgment bar of God, our transgressions, our iniquities, do you think Jesus has to say anything? Why, he probably only has to just lift up his hands. I died for him. He trusted in the blood that was shed from these hands and these feet. Perhaps all he has to do is show the Father his hands and his justice steps aside and mercy comes flooding in. I know some of you have committed some real bad sins. Perhaps some of us, the iniquity would be so great. We're standing there, the preacher preached about the great white throne of judgment, and we're standing there. I can imagine some of us perhaps and our iniquity is our sins are ever before us, and there are many transgressions and iniquities, and it seems as though the wrath of God is launching out at us like a ferocious lion trying to devour us. And we look over at Christ and he's showing his hands and his feet. And it seems like it's not affecting the wrath of God that we deserve. And then he says, Father, sidebar. Amen. Amen. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Y'all may not have got a blessing out of that like I did this afternoon. Yeah. The scars in his feet, his hands, the scar in his side is still there. He intercedes for us. He is our high priest. He is our advocate with the Father. Our lawyer, our go-between. And he just say, I'll tell you, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. And all Jesus has to do is show his hands and his feet, or perhaps the scar in his side, and grace comes flooding in. I don't know, maybe. Yeah. What future reason does it serve for Christ to retain these scars? What future reason does it serve? What about the day of judgment? I mean, when all the nations of the world, when every human being that's ever been born and lived stand before God, what purpose will these scars serve? I believe his own wounds are a witness against every man that does not believe. When they see those scars, it will be the tear of the universe. It will prove beyond a doubt that Jesus died for all men. That it was a whosoever will, that they could come to Jesus. It proved that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What about you, sinner friend, when he shows you his hands and his feet? You've refused to believe. I don't know. I know this much. The Bible says in Revelation 1 and 7 that every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. They will be visible. We'll be able to behold the scars in his hands and his feet. And as we gather around the throne of God, for judgment, it will be the damning witness to those that have not repented and have not trusted in Jesus to be their Savior. He loved you. Sinner friend, listen to me. He loved you so much, he died for you. You might say, no man really loved me, ever loved me that much. Well, Jesus did. And one day he'll show you his hands and his feet to prove it. I had one more thought. I'm about to close. When we get to heaven, and we've been there for a billion years, we all have a tendency to take things for granted, don't we? I mean, we've walked on streets of gold for a billion years. We've observed those walls of jasper, those gates of pearl for a billion years. We've dwelt in those mansions that Christ prepared for us for a billion years. We had frequently went to the throne of God, and we were there and present year after year throughout eons of eternity. Do you think there might be a time where it becomes mundane to us? Where we lack the appreciation for it like we should? I don't know if that's possible or not. Probably not. Probably not. But I do know this. I do know this. That when He shows us His hands and His feet, it'll take us back to the day the Lord saved us. The day we looked on Him whom we pierced, and we mourned as one mourned after His only Son who had died. We will go back to that time and place where we turned from sin and looked to Jesus to save us. And we won't forget the tremendous cost, the price that was paid that we could be saved. When we see His hands and feet, what do you think we'll say? Don't you think we'll shout out like the angels, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and praise"? We will reflect back on how we obtained eternal life, how we got there, how we were able to go into heaven and enjoy all the beauty and grandeur there. We'll know it's because He suffered and He died on the cross for us. We'll forever be reminded. I know there are some theologians that have come along and said that there's no such thing as eternal sonship. Wrong. There is eternal sonship. We will forever behold the Lamb that was slain. Lost friend, if you could see His hands and His feet tonight, if He were to show you tonight, show you. We saw the effect it had on the disciples. We show how it renewed their spirit, how it gave them zeal to preach the gospel. We saw the effect it had on the church. We've noticed the effect it had on angels, where they bowed down and worshiped Him and said, "Thou art worthy." Where they cried out, "Lift up ye gates." We saw the effect that it has upon the Father, withholding His wrath and His vengeance toward us because we're transgressors of His holy and His righteous law. We've noticed that throughout eternity, in that forever period where we'll dwell, that we'll always, always, always be conscious of His sacrifice that He made for us. If He was here tonight and He suddenly appeared before us and He showed you His hands and His feet, I'll tell you one thing about it. They'd be outstretched, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Like it says in Isaiah 45 and 22, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's salvation in none other." Those hands would declare that He is the one that was wounded for our transgression. He was the one that was bruised for our iniquities. He is the one that the chastisement of our peace was upon, and by His stripes we are healed. We're healed through His sacrifice. Amen. We're made whole through His sacrifice. Through the atoning death of Jesus Christ, we have been saved. Christ's scars, His wounds brought us healing. Amen. His death brought us life. He bore our sins in His own body. You know what we'll see every time we see those scars in heaven? Where Jesus paid for our sins. Peter said in 1 Peter, I believe it is, chapter 2 and verse 24, He bore your sins in His own body on the cross. Those scars are a symbol of our sins that He paid for. That's the passport into heaven, amen? I mean, we'll see those scars and we'll say, that's why we're in heaven. That's why we have these glorified bodies that are spotless, that are perfect and without blemish, because Jesus died to save us. This is a true and faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ, He came to save sinners. If you're a sinner tonight, He came to save you. He came to deliver you. He came to make you whiter than snow. He was here tonight and He showed you His hands and His feet. I believe He is showing you. Here's the point. I didn't get to what effect it had on the Holy Ghost. Whew. Boy, I got to bless the thing about that this evening. When the Holy Spirit saw the scars. See, He went to heaven and He said, I got to go away. But when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. See, Jesus went to heaven and He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. Amen? Amen. Co-equal with God. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, saw those scars, I tell you, it empowered the church on the day of Pentecost. It filled them with tongues such as fire. Amen. It filled them with power to take this gospel to show the world His hands and His feet. The point is this, and I'm closing. Go ahead and start singing. Go ahead and get Vicky, come on. The point is this. The Holy Spirit is still here. And He is showing lost sinners His hands and His feet. Look on Him whom you pierced. Mourn over your sins. Trust in Him to be your Savior. I pray it has some kind of effect upon you tonight, like it's had upon thousands of others, and even the Godhead itself. As we stand and sing a verse of some song, would you come?